think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday with a lot of cool stuff going on. So all of those are fair topics. Just let's please try not to be as dumb as we were in the first hour. Please.
So I was looking.
Apparently I'm too mean to callers, according to someone who called in. If you call with something really stupid to a show that's got thousands of listeners, do you really think I'm going to just, oh, yeah, you know what? That's a great call. Thank you so much. That's sweet of you. No. Now, here's why that's
you're dumb,
not
you're dumb.
No, don't be dumb.
We're not going to pretend like you're not dumb if you say something dumb. Just like if we say something dumb, you know damn well you guys are going to tweet us and tell us how dumb we are. That's fine. But don't expect for us to not call you dumb when you say dumb things. I was talking about top 10 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And if you don't, let's not count this year, Winston and Mariota, because we don't know what they are yet. But the 10 years previous to that, you tell me if this team was happy or not happy they used a top 10 pick on a quarterback.
Okay.
Bortles 2014.
Too early to tell.
Okay.
They're probably reasonably happy with him as of now, but...
Andrew Luck.
Oh, no, they're not happy with him.
They're disgusted.
Yeah.
Bob Griffin.
Oh, they're thrilled. Thrilled.
So there's one good, one bad so far. Ryan Tannehill.
I'm going to go with they're probably having some buyer's remorse about now, especially after having to pay him that contract.
So 1-2. Cam Newton.
Yeah, I think they're happy.
2-2. Jake Locker.
Where is he these days?
I don't know.
The retired Jake Locker.
Yes. So that's 2-3. The fact that Blake Bortles got taken in 2014 lets you know that the Jags weren't really happy with Blaine Gabbert's production.
Right. That's
so
a
we'll
fail.
Say 2-4. Sam Bradford? Did the Rams get a first-round picks worth out of Sam Bradford? I don't think so. So that's 2-5.
And you can make excuses for the injuries, but it's still, as overall, it was a fail.
Matt Stafford?
Yeah, I think they're happy with him.
I think they're happy with him more often than they're not. I think they're probably starting to realize maybe they can't win a Super Bowl with him. But
it's becoming Jay Cutler.
He's coming, maybe so. So we'll give them a go on him. So 3-5. Mark Sanchez.
No.
3-6. Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
4-6. Jamarcus Russell.
No.
4-7. Vince Young.
Nope.
4-8. Matt Leinart.
Nope.
4-9. Alex Smith. Did the 49ers get what they expected out of him with the first pick overall?
Well,
he's been better in Kansas City than he has in San Francisco.
He did play pretty well when Harbaugh got there. He looked like he was going to be the guy, but then you replaced him. So I'm going to go with no, but that one's less offensive than most of the other ones.
So 4 out of the last 14 we give a thumbs up on top 10 drafted quarterbacks. That's not a good percentage.
It's not, but...
There's guys who have been diamonds in the rough, but like there hasn't been... a ton of guys that have come out that I've been like, I'd really love to get that guy. That's a good quarterback.
But see, that's also where you're kind of in a position where you're criticizing the Texans for never investing in it, but then you're telling me that all these guys you've
been
invest in. Yeah. So I would have gambled on a couple of guys. I mean, we've talked about it before, but it just goes to show in most of those cases I didn't like the guys. Coming out of college. There were a few that I liked. There's very few that wound up not being good that I thought were going to be good.
Right. Yeah, like just going through the last couple of years, I mean, you can go back to 2010. The only real franchise quarterbacks that have come out, Andrew Luck was drafted. Russell Wilson was drafted, albeit in the third round. Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, you count him as a franchise quarterback?
I think at this point, and that's a team that makes the playoffs every year. And,
okay, yeah. So we'll go with him. I mean,
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, dude, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, 2005.
No, it was the same as Alex Smith.
Yeah, but that's going back to 2005. I'm just talking about like in the last five years or so.
Okay. I thought you were still talking about that same time span.
No, in the last 5 years or so, it's just been bleak. And then you get back to like, I mean, Matt Stafford was the only one in the 2009 draft. Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco, the only ones in the 2008 draft. I mean, yeah, it's been tough, man. The 2007 draft, not one of the quarterbacks that got taken in that draft is still, maybe some of them are in the league. I don't think any of these guys are in the league. But if they are, they're definitely not, they're not wearing helmets on Sundays. So it's pretty crazy how much of a, we say all the time, beat the table, draft a quarterback, but it's difficult because most of the guys that have come out just aren't good NFL quarterbacks.
And some of it's the culture they land into. If you're in Cleveland drafting a quarterback, you know the guy's going to suck.
Yeah.
So, and you look at the guys who have succeeded, and going back even a little bit to say Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco, they landed on good teams,
right,
with good coaches, and were better set up to succeed than a lot of these guys. But 713-780-ESPN is your number, and I guess we should next segment try to go through the NFL game since we're not going to be able to do that tomorrow either.
Yeah.
Let's try a phone call. DJ, try not to suck.
Hey, what's up, guys? Well, first of all, I'm not going to ask about Savage because I'm not a Texans fan. But my question to you guys are kind of a two-part question. The first question was, I know NFL, you know, trumps baseball, but do you think the Astros will get a little bit more love tonight, even though the Texans are playing tonight? And then my second question was kind of about what you guys just talked about. Do you think some of those quarterbacks that were projected to do a little better would have done better in a different system? I'll hang up on this.
I mean, that's tough to say. I mean,
I think there's a lot of them that in better situation, but not everybody's going to get drafted by the Packers and can sit for 3 years.
If Blake Bortles got drafted by the Broncos, would he be doing better? I'm sure he would, but I mean, that's why the crappy teams have the high draft picks.
Yeah, and they're usually bad organizations. That
it's rare that a good team drafts a quarterback, like a first-round quarterback. I mean, you mentioned Ben Roethlisberger, and that's a real good example because they weren't, you know, they weren't late in the draft. They were the 11th pick, though.
Right.
And he was the third quarterback off the board. So, you know, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, it's not like anybody made a mistake there. But,
no.
I mean, Ben Roethlisberger just ends up in a pretty good situation.
With a team that had a dominant defense, it forced a lot of turnovers and a great running game. And then he developed into a great quarterback because of that.
When Flacco got drafted, he went 18th. When Aaron Rodgers got drafted, he went 24th. I mean, these are guys who are, you know, it's a rare thing that the players with that much upside make it that far to fall into a good system. And when they do, obviously, it tends to work out better. But, I mean, we've also seen things happen like that where the guy didn't work out. I mean, Tim Tebow falls to 25 with the Broncos. That's a pretty good situation. And even though it's the Broncos, Tim Tebow just wasn't good enough to be an NFL starting quarterback. So it's about the player, too, you know?
Yeah, and as far as
Christian Ponder landed on a pretty decent Vikings team, he just sucks.
Yeah. Well, they did make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And not because of him.
No.
But, you know, it's funny. And then to his question about, I would be surprised if the Astros ratings are matching the Texans, even though it's a playoff game versus the Texans still theoretically are in the division race. Now, if this were next week and they had lost this game,
yeah,
I might have a different opinion, but I still think the Texans will outdraw the Astros. All right, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers, and heard me talk about this before. You're going to get a great sleep if you go there. You're going to get a great deal, and you're also going to help out Houston's Children's Charity. There's a list of more than 20,000 children under the age of 16 waiting for a bed. They're unable to afford it, and that's in Houston alone. So guess what Texas Mattress Makers is doing? For every purchase of $500 or more, Texas Mattress Makers will donate a bed to a Houston child in need. And the reason I say you're going to get a great sleep, they have so many different mattresses to choose from. They're going to custom fit a mattress for you. They're going to make it right there in the factory and sell it directly to you. So you're going to save a bunch of money. If you go to a retail store, there's this big markup. You're paying way too much. So you're going to sleep better. You're going to save money. You're going to do business with great people who do great things in the community, and you're going to help out Houston Children's Charity. What more could you ask for? Go visit them right now, Texas Mattress Makers, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Tell them I sent you. I promise you they'll take care of you. I hear all the time from Blitzers who go over there and tell me what a great experience they had with Yuval and the gang. Tell them that I sent you. They will get you a great, great deal. That's Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, TexasMattressMakers.com.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I think we'll wait to go over the NFL games because we got fantasy next segment. May or may not have RJ at 6.
You think we've got too much NFL? That's crazy.
No, I just think, you know, a lot of full line of callers.
RJ at 6.
I think 6. Is that right, John?
Haven't received anything from him. But
don't we usually have him on Friday, or am I crazy?
Well, yeah, we usually do, but who knows how much of a show you're going to have tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
See, we're trying to think ahead here. That's why we're doing some of the stuff. Yeah. See, John's on top of things. That's why he's the boss.
Todd says, Warner update said Luck is starting tonight and will throw to Mancrief. Did I miss something? No, you didn't miss anything. He also said that Yordi Ventura is pitching
big fan
for
of
the Royals.
I'm a big fan of Yordi's.
And Yordi's not a real human. So.
No, Andrew Luck is not playing tonight.
No, he's not.
At least according to Adam Schefter.
And Smooth Cruise says Andrew Luck is the most overrated player in the NFL. And he said, and before you say it, no, I'm not a Texans fan. Okay. And then he sent me a link to a Pro Football Focus article. That's fine. I've got eyes, and I can see that guy's been to the playoffs every year, and he threw 40 touchdowns last year, and he's got no other good players on his team. So if Pro Football Focus tells you he's bad and you believe it, good for you.
Yeah, I didn't even renew my membership to that last year because some of the stuff was just – the only thing I found it useful for was grading offensive linemen.
Yeah. Listen, Andrew Luck's not – he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. I think that most people, myself included, think that he projects to that eventually. And obviously, he's off to a bad start this season. And who knows if he was playing through injury early on or not. But he had a rough start to the season. But if Aaron Rodgers came out and had a rough four-game stretch, I wouldn't suddenly throw him in the trash can and say he's overrated. I'm willing once you build a track record, I'm willing to let you go out there a little bit when you're struggling, and I expect that you'll end up turning it around. I'm not ready to punt on Andrew Luck's a good football player yet. No thanks.
No.
I'll keep my stock. In fact, I guess I'm buying Andrew Luck stock since everyone seems to want to sell it right now.
I'm a little concerned, I got to say, about the shoulder, especially if he's having dislocation issues. That's something that can be a real problem. And I would be worried if I were a Colts fan over that, and I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
But he'll have, at least the good news is, he'll have an extra, it's almost a mini bye here since they're not playing, so he'll have 3 weeks off, basically, before he has to get back out there again.
But like that doctor said, I mean, his separation isn't like what happened to Drew Brees. You know, like, it's not the joint that popped out. I think he's going to be back to normal. I think they're just being extra cautious with him, which is smart.
All right, well, you know what? We can go through some of these games. Obviously, the one tonight. Now the Texans are 5.5-point favorites. I'm looking at that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think I can't touch this game. I would lean the under, which I see is 40.5 now. But Colts went from 1 point favorite to 5.5 point dog. So that's about a 6.5 point swing.
Yeah.
It's about what Andrew Luck is worth. But he's overrated. The fact that
he sucks.
Jaguars, Bucks. Bucks minus 2.5. I have no interest in either team.
I like the Jags a lot more than I like the Bucks. And you said Jags minus 2.5?
No, it's Jags plus 2.5. Jags,
yeah, I'll take the Jags. I like the Jags probably to win that game.
I shall pass on that one myself.
I think the Bucks are just terrible. I think
the Jags are terrible. They're both bad teams.
They are, but Winston just doesn't seem like he's... I mean, he's nowhere near NFL ready. You just said yourself, it looks like, I think at least, that Bortles is kind of starting to round into a player. Winston's just further behind in his development than Bortles is. And, you know, the Bucks haven't been able to run the ball. I just don't like them.
I don't like either team, so I'm not touching it. Bills minus 2 at Tennessee. Not really crazy about this game either.
I wouldn't touch that game. I do like the... I mean, I guess if I can get it under a field goal, I'd probably lean Buffalo, but I don't really want to play that game.
Browns plus 6.5 at Baltimore, another one I'm not really interested in.
Yeah.
Recurring theme here so far. I'm not, none of these games.
That's another one. I'd look for a Browns number, and unless I get 7 or more, I'm not interested.
Falcons minus 7 at home against the Redskins. I will give the points here. I feel pretty good about the Falcons beating this team by more than a touchdown.
You know I don't bet against the Falcons at home, Fred.
Chiefs minus 9 against the Bears. I kind of want to take Bear plus 9 there.
I'll take the Bears too.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler looked like he's healthy. And again, this isn't me saying Jay Cutler is a great player, but Jay Cutler is significantly better than Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs aren't world beaters. The Chiefs kind of underachieved.
They're not a very good team.
I don't think the Chiefs are a team that should be giving up 9 points. So I'd take those points.
Philadelphia minus 5 against New Orleans.
I tend to lean Philly, but Philly's tough to bet because I don't know if in my head I keep thinking Philly's going to get right.
Yeah.
But maybe
they're not showing any signs of it.
Maybe they're not.
Green Bay minus 9 at home against the Rams. I never know which Rams team's going to show up. I'm just going to stay away from them.
The Rams show up against good teams, but I'm not in the business of betting against the Packers in Green Bay very often.
Especially when Rodgers goes nuts. You got the runner at second, so.
Ninth Blue Jays inning. Down to their last out.
What's the next one on the list here? Oh, Seattle plus 3 at Cincinnati.
Probably Cincinnati for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you'd go the other way because you have Seahawk underwear.
I mean, listen, you said Seattle plus 3, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels good to get points with a team like Seattle, but Cincinnati's been very good.
They have.
And Seattle's not the same team on the road as they are at home. So I'll probably give a field goal.
Cardinals minus 2.5 at Detroit.
Yeah, this Cardinals team is so frustrating to bet. But yeah, I would take the I'd take the Cards.
There's twice where I'm giving a lot of points, which I almost never do. But I'll give the 8.5 with the Patriots at Dallas, and I'll feel good about it.
I tend to lean that way as well. That's the only side I could play. I can't.
Yeah, you can't take.
I can't take 8.5 points and say Brandon Whedon's going to be good enough to get me there.
Broncos minus 4.5 against the Raiders. Oakland?
Yeah.
I'd lean Oakland. I'm not playing it, but I'd lean Oakland.
I'd like to play Oakland. I just don't think I can. The Broncos have been so good defensively. And that's still, as much as I like Derek Carr, that's still a really young quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, none for me.
Giants minus 6.5 against your favorite team, the 49ers.
See, that's one of the plays I've made already, and fortunately for me, I played it at 7.5. I'm taking the Niners in that game. I hate to do it because I think that team is just awful.
Yep.
But based on the last game the Giants played, I'll probably be on, or I am on,
and
the 49ers.
Steelers,
sadly enough.
Steelers plus 3 at San Diego in the Monday night game.
This is so difficult to me. I think I'm going to take San Diego with the points.
I think I'm going to take Steeler. But
okay.
I don't think I'm playing.
Getting
that
Gates
game.
Back is big for them, I think. They just have to figure out how to run the ball.
So
Melvin Gordon already kind of looks like a disappointment to me.
It's Wisconsin running back, man.
Yeah.
So my 3 official plays for our game: Patriots minus 8.5, Falcons minus 7, Bears plus 9. And I may actually play all three of those too. I like all those.
Gosh. I'll take Bears plus 9. I'll take Arizona minus 3 or 2.5, whatever it is. And I'm already on San Francisco plus 7.5, so I'll take 7 or 6.5, whatever it is. I'd prefer 7, but if it's 6.5, I'll just take that.
Okay.
Actually, if it's 6.5, give me the Chargers instead.
Jung?
Give me the Chargers and minus 3, the Pats and the Falcons. What do you got for the Pats? I got different numbers here.
I've got 10.
I've got 8.5 on the side I'm looking at.
Yeah, I'm looking at 8.
And that's what I bet it at 8.5, so I'll go with 8.5 on mine.
You want to put down 8.5?
Yes.
Okay.
That half's not going to matter. All right. Quick break. We come back. A little fantasy talk. Christopher Harris joins us. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
But I'm on the outside.
ESPN 97.5. From the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz Fantasy Football segment brought to you by FanDuel. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. You know what that music means? It's time for Christopher Harris, harrisfootball.com, fantasy football guru, and Nirvana fan. What's up, Christopher?
Hey, Fred and AJ. How are you guys today?
Doing great, my friend.
Doing sports.
So let's start with this game tonight, which has suddenly turned into a dog game. Is there anyone of any value on either team that you would even consider using for anything tonight?
That's spoken like a truly despondent person who has to talk about the Texans all day. I mean, Arian Foster, I think he's going to see a lot of touches, and I think he's going to be all right. I thought he looked fine in his return. I mean, hard to tell when a team's getting throttled like that what exactly Foster had, but, you know, you have to say it's at least nice that he didn't get hurt. I would say definitely use him. I feel like DeAndre Hopkins has proved enough. I don't really care who the quarterback is. Maybe that, you know, Hopkins probably has the talent to be a top 10 wide receiver, and probably he can't be ruled a top 10 wide receiver because of the quarterback. But 11 through 20, sign me up. I think he's in there. You know, Frank Gore, a little less attractive with no Andrew Luck, but I think most teams are probably got to use him. And the Colts receiving situation is very interesting because with Hasselbeck last week, it felt like on tape to me, Dante Moncrief had the more valuable role as the possession guy as opposed to Hilton as more of the clear-out guy, and that's the way I ranked them for this week, so I guess I'd be more interested in Moncrief. But then again, maybe I'm also interested in the Texans' defense kind of making a little bit of a resurgence. Hasselbeck was in a total disaster last week, but they didn't ask him to do a lot, so if game flow happens to flow in the Texans' favor, you know, the snowball could, you know, get rolling downhill a little bit.
Christopher Harris, our guest, Harris Football on Twitter. Check him out. He does a great podcast. It gives you all sorts of great fantasy information. And we'll do our FanDuel 5 quarterbacks here in a minute. But I wanted to ask a little bit about as someone who does this and plays a lot of fantasy, do you feel like it's rewarding when a guy like DeAndre Hopkins winds up with what turned out to be a terrific day after the game was over? And it is so different from real. The part of it that's different from real football is those are just useless yards that mean nothing in the game. But if you had him on your team, it meant everything.
Yeah, the garbage time stuff. Sure. I mean, I feel like part of the calculation you make when you decide to take on a player is, you know, what do I expect the team to be like? You know, maybe this is a team that we're playing from behind. I don't always subscribe that that's a good way to think about it, but, you know, when you are right, it's to make you feel smart. And frankly, I think what fantasy does for you, I'll sort of turn it around the other way. I think it gives you a way to enjoy a game that otherwise would be utterly unenjoyable. At least you can think about it, hey, throw it to Nuke, and, you know, that'll at least be fun, even though I know my beloved Texans, you know, can't win. At least you're getting something out of Hopkins.
You said that I asked you about him last week. You said you'd be glad to miss the first big game for Todd Gurley. Is Todd Gurley now a guy you want in your lineup every single week?
yeah, I feel like we missed the first good game with Todd Gurley, and that was okay. And now he is rated much more highly for me. You never would have heard me doubt the talent. You know, I said on the podcast all summer that I haven't been as excited about a running back prospect since Adrian Peterson. And I feel like Gurley may have a season in him in the near future where he's the number one player in fantasy. So I love the guy. But, you know, I also want to be somewhat controlled. A lot of the yardage that Gurley gave you last week came in clock-killing mode, and when the Cardinals were kind of taking massive chances to try to stop him on third and shorts, and he would break through, and there'd be no one there. But there was enough when the game was competitive and when the defense was normal where you saw that combination of size and acceleration that tantalized us all in college, and absolutely would imagine the workload keeps getting bigger. It's not always going to be long runs every single carry, but I'm definitely all aboard now.
Obviously, the probably the most disappointing first-round pick that people have is DeMarco Murray for the guys that ended up with him. But catching up pretty quickly seems to be C.J. Anderson, and the Broncos seem to be willing to feed Ronnie Hillman more and more. And thinking back to last year, if Ronnie Hillman wouldn't have got hurt, we probably wouldn't even know who C.J. Anderson is. If you own C.J. Anderson, should you be seriously concerned at this point?
Yeah, I definitely think you have to be concerned. I think I'm concerned about the entire Bronco running game. I'm with you, though. Like, it's been so mediocre with Anderson. Why wouldn't Gary Kubiak, you know, a guy you're real familiar with, why wouldn't he at least give Hillman more of a crack? I felt like, you know, Hillman basically made one play last week where it was a very well-blocked play, very rare for that Broncos offensive line. He gets to the outside, nobody makes a tackle, it's a long touchdown, the box score looks great. Hillman strikes me as not really a feature back, not really a player who runs sort of, you know, size-wise, he's similar to Justin Forsett. But when I watch them on tape, I see Forsett as, you know, for as small as he is, kind of a physical runner, which makes me worry Forsett will get hurt. And I don't feel Hillman's that way. I feel like he kind of just takes a hit and goes down. But, yes, I mean, if the question is, are we going to be concerned about C.J. Anderson? Absolutely we are. You know, it's hard knowledge to come by when offenses turn out not to be what we expected they were going to be. I mean, I think at this point we just have to get used to the idea that the Broncos offense just isn't that machine anymore that it's been the past 3 years. The Saints aren't that machine anymore. The Lions aren't that machine anymore. There are real fundamental problems on those teams that are going to have to, we're going to have to readjust our expectations for those skill players.
All right, we do this every week. We pick five players that are on FanDuel. And this week I did quarterbacks, all of them 6,500 or less. So if you want to go cheap on quarterbacks, I'm going to throw five names out there, and you tell me which one you would be most interested in if you were going to build a team that way. And at 6,500 playing in the Monday night game, Michael Vick is the first name on the list.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw pretty much what Michael Vick is. I hope there are names I like more.
Brandon Weeden, 6,400.
Well, there's one I don't like more.
I don't think you're going to like the next one more either at 6,400. Nick Foles at Green Bay.
You're right. I do not.
Well, only two more options then. This one kind of intrigues me, although he turns the damn ball over so much. Jameis Winston at home against Jacksonville for 6,400.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, for a GPP type entry, it isn't a terrible idea because, you know, you're zigging when other people are zagging. That can sometimes be a good strategy. If I was playing in like a 50-50 where I needed to make sure I got something out of a guy, you're right. I mean, Winston can hit you with that big negative number like Kaepernick can, and, you know, you can really lose the week right there.
And finally, Kirk Cousins at Atlanta for 6,400.
Boy, I think we wound up with Mike Vick. I think he saved the best for first. You know, like, I would say it's not a terrible idea to go with the guy who's got maybe the best running back and the best wide receiver in football and hope that with a full week of game planning, actually 10 days of game planning, that the Steelers are able to get a little more creative with Vick. What he needs to do, and he's always needed to do, is not run around so much, not come off his first read and duck his head and start running. And I'm suspicious that the Steelers can't break him of that habit, considering he's had it for 15 years or whatever. But I think if I'm going to take a chance on a cheap one, it turns out I'm with Vic.
You mentioned the team with the best running back and best wide receiver, and it's a good time to transition to the Falcons. Devontae Freeman, how much should we be believing in this guy?
I am literally sitting here writing a column for Vice Sports, doing a film study on Devontae Freeman, and I'm watching real closely. And I know Texans fans got an up-close and personal look at him last week. I'm not going to say it's a mirage because it's a great offense, and you know any defense that has to account for Julio Jones is going to have holes in it elsewhere. A stat that I've just kind of put together myself watching this tape was Devontae Freeman literally didn't run against an 8-man box the entire game against the Texans. And that's obviously because we're concerned that Julio Jones is going to blow the top off. That said, I don't see Freeman doing a lot that's super repeatable. He's kind of running to the perimeter most of the time, and that works when teams are surprised by it. I feel like it doesn't work as the season goes along. And then he's scoring these touchdowns on these kind of surprise trap plays right up the middle that, again, it just feels like you need a big defensive breakdown for that to work. Little or backs can be feature backs. Ray Rice did it. Maurice Jones-Drew did it. But usually they don't. I think Tevin Coleman comes back and is a factor. And I have Freeman rated as a top 10 running back this week because I don't want to be stupid, and you know I don't want to bet into the winning streak. But I would say if I was selling high on a player and someone wanted to treat Devontae Freeman like he's a top 10 overall player, I would make that trade.
What about the Buffalo running back situation right now? Carlos Williams dealing with some concussion stuff. LeSean McCoy still looking like he's not going to play. Booby Dixon seems to be the guy. Is he worth picking up off the waivers?
I rated him as the guy, but now all you're hearing out of Buffalo is he's got a calf injury. Ugh. And now Boom Heron. You've got the Boom and Booby show, by the way. Boom Heron, who signed, you know, remember him from the Colts, he signed this week to play for the Bills, and people are saying, no, maybe he's, you know, this is the kind of thing that we just can't legislate. We just don't know what usage will be. It's probably, you know, Dixon strikes me as the guy, the big guy who could fall into the end zone and make your week, but I feel like unless you're desperate, maybe it's just stay away from that situation.
What's the prognosis in Seattle then with the same situation? Rawls didn't look quite as fantastic last week. Are they expecting Lynch back? And if you've got to choose one of those guys to run with, who are you thinking is going to be the better one?
Well, pure game time decision. It sounds like with the hamstring for Lynch in a game that, you know, it's an out of league game, out of conference game, right? Where it doesn't kill you if you go to Cincinnati and don't win, and maybe you don't take a chance with Lynch. But we're going to know when the inactives come out. There's really no way to know before then. Yeah, I'm with you. Thomas Rawls looked like Robert Turbin to me. You know, he just looked like another guy. And I would say he's a very middle-of-the-pack kind of player if Lynch is inactive. And I think if Lynch is active, I just take the shot with Marshawn.
All right, that's Christopher Harris, harrisfootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at harrisfootball. Does a great job with the podcast. Go check him out. Christopher, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate the time.
I appreciate you guys having me on. It's really one of my favorite things all week. I really love it.
I'll tell you what, it's one of our favorite segments all week, too, so it works for everybody.
Awesome. Thanks very much.
All right, Christopher Harris. All right, one of my favorite things is Two Blows. You guys know we're playing that golf tournament Monday, but Two Blows is terrific. Chip and his team are great. Great place to go if you want to go tonight and watch the Astros, the Texans, University of Houston, everything that's on. Not a better place to go than Two Blows because they've got so many TVs there. They've got such a great setup that wherever you're sitting, you can see everything so you can keep up with all the action. You can go on Monday Night Football. We're going to be out there ourselves a few times. Staff is fantastic. The food is just terrific. It's not your average sports bar menu. And there's not a thing on the menu that you're not going to enjoy. So go watch the Astros tonight and watch them this weekend. Go tomorrow and watch them. Go every day and watch the Astros as long as they're alive. Just enjoy those TVs. It's a great place for the whole family. You can take your kids and you know, we love Two Blows. We're out there all the time. It's the kind of place you can really make your home away from home. All you got to do is go check them out. They're on 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. So if you're on that side of town, that's your place to go. Terrific place. And they do a lot of great things for charity, including that big tournament that's coming up Monday. So go check them out. Two Blows, 2907 Rayford Road in Spring, twobelows.com. Tell me why I'm to the bloody end. Just me and my girlfriend.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Join Raheel Saturday for College Game Day Party presented by Coors Light at Luke's Ice House. Our feature game of the day is Texas versus Oklahoma. We'll be starting early on the deck, beginning at 11 a.m. for the kickoff. Catch a cold silver bullet with us and register to win tickets to see Texas take on Kansas State with a free night stay at Red Roof Inn, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Coors Light. Well, you probably won't have a Coors Light with Raheel, but somebody there will drink with you. That's how it works. There's always someone there drinking. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. Okay. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
You're not a fan of pet snakes, right?
No.
You think they're a bad idea?
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would keep a snake. They're disgusting, vile creatures.
You probably would never own a reptile store, right?
Fred, you know the answer to this question.
I know, but I'm setting this up, okay?
Okay.
Because a guy who
I'll play along. No, I would never own a reptile store.
All right. Well, because if you did own a reptile store in Kentucky, of course, you might have to have a 20-foot python pried off of you because the owner of the reptile store was being crushed by the python. He was cleaning the snake's cage. When
they got him that fast?
The 125-pound snake attacked. It was like watching a horror movie. One of the witnesses said, a horror movie in real life is all that was. That sounds so Kentucky. Horror movie in real life is all that was. But apparently, they had to call the cops and get he did not get to eat the man, but he was crushing him. And police officers had to pry the python away. 20-foot-long, 125-pound python. This is what happens when you own a reptile store and you go to clean a cage. I got to say, it's your own fault. You got a 125-pound snake. It is your own fault. That's why all those things I was asking you, I agree with you on.
Thank you.
Don't be owning a 125-pound snake unless you want to get crushed. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Hey, let's give something away before I forget. How about an NBA 2K16 PS4 game? Finally, NBA 2K16 is out. This is the best NBA video game of all time, featuring an all-new career mode written and directed by cinema legend Spike Lee. With over 5,000 new animations and updates, it's the most fluid gameplay in franchise history. The best sports video game every year, it's NBA 2K16. NBA 2K16 is rated everyone 10 and up. Available in PS4, PS3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PC.
I think that's a PS3 version. I just think that the copy wasn't changed.
All right, so it's for PS3 then. Get yours now, caller 15. So have we found out if we're getting we're going to get some of these?
I'm getting one.
Did you talk to Michelle?
No, I did not.
Okay, I'll text her.
You better talk to her.
Okay, John, if you could, I just want one for 360 if we have them.
Okay.
Well, we gave one away, right?
We do have one.
I heard Raheel and them give
one
away.
You don't want to talk to Michelle?
Well, I'm about to be gone. 6:30, I'm disappearing. You guys aren't seeing me again until Monday morning at the golf tournament, which we still have to talk about, I think, John, what we're supposed to be doing Monday. I know it has nothing to do with anything, but I'm looking for my copy. That's why I'm dragging this out. All right, well, I don't need a copy to tell you about FanDuel, because all you got to do is sign up, go to FanDuel. You know they're paying out over $2 billion this year. Build your team. Stay under the salary cap. And you heard us talking with Christopher Harris about some of the quarterbacks. If you want to try to go cheap at quarterback and spend your money on Gronk, that's one way to do it. Entry fees start at just $1. Anyone can play. Our league is for $5. There's some spots left. So if you want to get in, it's FanDuel.com/Fowler. $5, the winner gets $200. Last week, Ben from Illinois turned $5 into $10,000 during his first month on FanDuel. So how about you turn your $5 into $200 by winning this tournament and getting your name called out on the air when you win? Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code Fowler, and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code FAUR today. Don't forget to use the code F-A-O-U-R. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. Make sure you get signed up for that league right now. You can beat me and take my money. It's FanDuel.com/FAUR. That's F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com. Sign up today.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.